Get your Bibles, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to share things with you tonight, and just to give you a little bit of background. Again, you know, I was praying about the service. I came here, you know, I usually get here kind of early on Wednesdays, and I was praying about the service, sitting back there, and some things started coming back to me that I had been thinking and meditating on here not too long ago. Had to do with, I don't know how the best way to put it would be, but I'll say it like this. Why are Christians the way they are? You know, you take that for what it's worth, but why are Christians the way they are? Because, you know, really, all too often, we're not much different than the world in a number of ways. And it shouldn't be like that. But why are Christians the way they are? And the Lord was kind of dealing with me about some of these things. And as I was praying about it, and, you know, I'm back there in the office and I'm praying, and He began to give me some things. And I'm going to read to you what He gave me. It's not quite three full pages, two and a half. You know, out in Tulsa, Dave Roberson has what's called the dreaded yellow pad. Now, what that means is he has, you know, a yellow notepad, and as the Lord gives things to him, you know, he writes them down. Now, the reason he does that is because he doesn't have a computer, and he's never taken the time to try and learn a computer. I mean, that's just him. So he writes everything out. So in a service, if you're ever listening to any of those tapes, and all of a sudden you hear the congregation say, "Oh no, the dreaded yellow pad," you know what he's just pulled out. That means he's going to start reading to them what the Lord has given to him. Oh, what I should have done? I should have printed this out on yellow paper. Oh no, the dreaded yellow printout. So anyhow, there's a verse here in 1 Thessalonians that he took me to, and I want you to read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look in verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And, you know, there are a lot of people that deny the separate existence of the spirit and the soul, but, you know, this verse right here makes it explicitly clear: body, soul, and spirit. Body, spirit, and soul. Soul, spirit, body. Body, spirit, soul, spirit, body. Three parts, okay? And it's the spirit part of us that's born again. It is the body that will be glorified, and it is the soul that is transformed or changed. And everything will pretty much line up once you get past the book of Revelation, okay? Simply put. But until then, we're dealing with issues. And as I'm reading through this, it answers the question, why are Christians the way they are? And I don't know if I'll interject anything along the way, or maybe just wait to the end and try to share with you what I was kind of seeing as we were going through this. But anyway, this verse, again, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now here's what the Lord began saying. And I'm praying in the Spirit the whole time, you know, He's giving this to me. Many people talk about the flesh and the problems they have with it. They talk as though their body has a mind of its own and that they cannot control certain habits or behaviors. However, the body itself has no mind or will. It only responds to what it is told to do. The physical body is nothing more than a vehicle which enables you to operate in the realm of the natural. Notice closely the order listed in the verse: spirit, soul, and body. Do you notice that the soul rests between the body and the spirit? That is because the soul is the filter through which everything passes. When the soul controls the body, you have problems. When the spirit controls the body, you eliminate problems. People continue with bad habits such as overeating, inappropriate sexual behavior, smoking, alcohol use, drug dependency, excessive television, and other things because their soul, that is, their mind, will, and emotions, is controlling their decision-making process. In some cases, people induce their body to various addictions because they continue to rely on their soul. But even addictions can be permanently broken when a person decides to be governed by their spirit rather than their soul. Until the spirit can get through the soul to touch the body will be under the control of whatever the soul tells it. In an abstract sense, Christians do not have problems with sin, they have problems with their soul. They are born again with my life and nature. My life and nature is not subject to the problems and behaviors demonstrated by so many of my children. The only way they can do such things is if they override my nature in them with their soul. Until a person enables their spirit to become more influential than their soul, they will continue to have problems. Few Christians have truly learned this and continue to live under the dominion of their soul. You see, your soul has been trained from birth to respond to the things of the natural. The reason for this is because you were born with a sin nature. As such, you did not have my life in you to help govern the soul. The result is that the soul has a head start in controlling a person's life. In some cases, the soul has had many, many years of dominion. Then, when a person is born again, there is a sudden internal change. The soul suddenly comes in contact with life. Though the spirit has been changed, the soul has not. Since the soul had previously known nothing but a sin nature, it has learned to respond accordingly. It has developed a pattern of response based on natural things. The soul must be brought into subjection to the spirit. Notice closely that I did not say the soul must conform to the spirit, but that it must be brought into subjection to the spirit. There are parts of the soul that will be easier controlled by the spirit. But there are other areas where the soul will never want to yield authority. It will fight the spirit continually to retain dominion. This is when you must be spiritually stronger than your soul. Amazingly, I have so many children who try to control themselves through their soul. They ignore their spirit and try to will themselves into change. This is turning your mind into a battlefield. You are, in a manner of speaking, trying to turn your soul against itself. This is the cause for a lot of depression among Christians. They are weak spiritually, but trying to change in a way that can only come from spiritual strength. Remember that once you are born again, your spirit can draw on the strength and power of my deity. Though it will never transform you into deity, it is a power that cannot be controlled by the things of the world. Thus, when you access my deity power with your spirit, you become stronger in your spirit to the point of subduing and controlling the soul. When this takes place, your spirit, instead of your soul, will then govern your decision-making process. This same principle is true for what you believe. Think again about the order listed in the verse. Spirit, soul, and body. Now think about your learning process and allow the term body to represent the natural. Everything you learn starts in the natural. You physically sit in a physical church while a physical person uses his or her physical body to speak forth words of a sermon. Next, those words pass into your physical ears and are interpreted by your mind as words you know and understand. Those words are evaluated by your soul as to their meaning and impact on your life. They are compared to what your soul already has determined is beneficial to you. If, according to your soul, the meaning of the words being preached or taught do not make any sense, they will not be received unless you choose to override what your soul is saying. You see, your spirit craves truth. It can only survive and grow on truth. But if your soul rejects truth in favor of a previously held belief, then truth will be filtered away from your spirit. When this happens, your spirit will remain weak. It will never grow beyond the level of truth it has been allowed to receive. My nature and truth are inseparable. The more truth you walk in, the more of my nature will come forth. This is why so many of you struggle in accepting truth and applying it to your lives. You are allowing your soul to dictate your doctrines. Sadly, your soul has all too often been subjected to that which is not truth and has chosen to accept it. In the realm of your soul, you made a decision to believe those who seem to be your spiritual elders. You accepted what they said and made it the course of action for your life. But my truth is the only thing that will change you into what I desire. If you do not allow your spirit to be fed truth, you will continue to be weak and subject to wrong doctrine. This is one of the main reasons I have given to you praying in tongues. It is a method by which the Holy Spirit is able to bypass your soul and speak directly to your spirit. The soul then has no opportunity to filter out truth. Your spirit will grow and eventually become stronger than what is contained in your soul. But because learning begins in the natural, many have rejected teaching about praying in tongues. They have been taught about praying in tongues in the natural circumstances I described, but their soul has rejected the teaching because the soul has been programmed to believe otherwise. Unless you override what your soul is telling you, you will never be able to receive the direct to your spirit teaching that the Holy Spirit can provide through praying in tongues. Even those who believe in praying in tongues would do it more if they truly grasp the fullness of what it can do for them. Take me at my word. Reject anything that your soul tells you to the contrary. Pray in tongues and watch your spirit gain ascendancy over your soul. Then watch as your life reflects my nature like never before. Hallelujah. Now, as I was going through this, turn over to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something. I'll show you a verse that just jumped out at me as he was saying all of this. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul said in verse 14, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Which is exactly what God was saying. Not the same words, but that is exactly what he said. Now, here's what I saw. And I'll try to explain it as best I can. Spirit, soul, and body. And on the one hand, you have the spirit, and over here you have the body, but then you have the soul smack dab right in between. Nothing gets to the body unless the soul allows it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So when the spirit is trying to impose upon the flesh a change of behavior, regardless of what that would be, when the spirit is trying to impose upon the flesh your actions and all these other things, what the spirit has become, the life and the nature of God, well, the soul is receiving those instructions. Now, here's the thing about it. Over in Romans, when Paul was writing about how that the Gentiles, when they get born again, if they live according to the law, even though they never had the law, then they have become a law unto themselves. Their conscience accusing or excusing their thoughts. In other words, what he was saying is the Gentiles never had the law that was given to the Jews. So they never had anything etched in stone that they could go by. But once they got born again, they suddenly became aware of what God wanted and didn't want. And the reason for that was because their soul was receiving instruction from their new nature, from their born-again spirit. Well, then they were faced with a choice. Do I do this, or do I override it and continue to live another way? Well, see, this was part of the problem that the Jews were having. They couldn't figure out, you know, how can the Gentiles become like us, meaning, you know, children of God. And Paul had to explain, well, you know, until you're born again, you're not a child of God in the truest sense. Well, anyhow, here we are, a soul in the middle of a spirit and the body. Now, let's just use one example, one thing. Let's just use the example of smoking. Now, this is not to criticize anybody, but it's to try to help people understand what's going on. It could also be drinking. It could be drugs. It could be pornography. I mean, all kinds of things. Anything that is an input from the outside causes some kind of action in the body. Obviously, smoking, that's an input from the outside, and it causes a response by the body. So does drinking. So does pornography. All these different things from the outside cause some kind of reaction. Now, that reaction stimulates something in the realm of the soul to either be a pleasurable experience or a non-pleasurable experience based upon what the soul interprets. Okay? Not the spirit, but the soul. So, the soul receives this, or this input is coming to the body, to the soul, and then over time, the soul begins to interpret this as a desirable thing. As it begins to interpret it as a desirable thing, it then begins to tell the decision-making process, this is what you are supposed to do. And so the person begins smoking. Well, eventually, the body can be trained to expect the input of what, you know, nicotine and all this other stuff can do to it. Well, here you get born again. Now, the spirit knows there's no reason to be bound by this, because I am of God, and God is not bound by this. So therefore, I do not understand the reason that you keep lighting up or having another drink or putting in another one of those trashy movies or on and on, whatever it would be. I do not understand this, because I have come from perfect, holy God, and I now am you. You now have me as a part of who you are. And yet, all of a sudden, something that I've never been accustomed to is being introduced. So, this is not right. And so the spirit wants to send signals of stop doing this. But the soul says, whoa, whoa, hold on right there. Who are you? Where'd you come from? We have not had this problem since you came along. And I've been here longer than you, so I will tell you what we will and won't do. So why don't you just sit there and watch as we light up again, or as we tune in again, or as we do this again, whatever it would be. And the spirit's saying, but this isn't right. And the soul says, excuse me, who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? This gives me pleasure of some kind. Therefore, we will do it. Now, you watch. Body, go do it. And body runs over and does it. Because the body has no brain of its own. It has no will or mind of its own. It only does what it's told to do. If, on the other hand, the spirit were in control, the spirit would say, body, don't do that. And the body would say, okay, whatever. I mean, I don't care. Whoever is in charge, that is who I will obey. And so, people that are smoking, and yes, it can become a physical addiction, but again, the spirit, that nature, has come from God. And that nature does not understand the concept of addiction. Because that nature says, but I have come from God. He is perfect. He is holy. He is addicted to nothing but love. So, I do not understand, body, why you continue to crave this. I can fix this for you if you let me. And the soul says, yeah, but you don't get through. I am the filter, the barrier between you and the flesh. And you're not getting through, because as of right now, yeah, you may have come from God, But remember, I have been around longer and I know how to manipulate the decision-making process so that the body will do what I tell it to do. And you just sit there. Do you mind? And the Spirit says, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. And so your new nature is trying to reach out there and control these things, but the soul is saying, back off, dude. No way. I am in control here. Then we hear a preacher stand up and say, you shouldn't do these things. And something on the inside says, see, I told you, you shouldn't be doing these things. And then we get all this guilt. I just don't know why I can't stop. And the soul says, because you really don't want to. And the Spirit says, but I do want to. And the soul says, shut up. I'm still in control here. And so we come in, we go out. We come in and go out. Service after service, week after week, after month, after year, same kind of problems, same kind of behaviors. Because the soul is still stronger than the Spirit. Now, in reality, your born-again nature does have more power because it's come from God. But your will, in reality, your will is more powerful than your new nature, because your will is still operating in that, the soulish will operating as far as the decision-making process, until something happens to cause your spirit to beef up. The soul is going to continue to control these things. Once the spirit becomes more powerful than the soul in any area where you're having any kind of a problem, it can be laziness, it can be anything, it doesn't matter. Once the spirit becomes stronger than the soul in that area, the problem stops. And you don't have it anymore. Now, for some people, they've been able to quit certain habits or behaviors just like that. For other people, they struggle for years. Well, it's not that God chose to extend favor to one person more than another. It's just that some people, their souls are stronger in some areas than they are in others, and it's different for each person. But what isn't different is the fact that your spirit can become stronger than any of those areas. And once your spirit becomes stronger in those areas, then those habits and behaviors are going to stop. Addictions are broken. That's why sometimes I've heard the stories of people that have struggled with a habit for years, and then all of a sudden, it's over. And they never struggle again. Well, the same thing is true, like what he was sharing as far as what people believe. You know, the doctrines that they believe. I don't even know how to really explain how I was seeing this, but it's as though we choose to believe what we want to believe. Okay? Now, when we are taught certain doctrines, I mean, you can pick healing if you want to. Well, God will heal you whenever He wants to heal you. And that came from where? The Bible? No. There's nothing in Scripture to substantiate that. You can't substantiate that. Now, some people, maybe even in this room tonight, will hear me say that and think, well, then how come I'm not healed? Because your soul is still controlling your belief system in the area of healing. Here's what I'm getting at. We can mentally ascend to things that are in the Bible, but when the Spirit becomes stronger in the area of doctrine concerning healing, then no longer do you ask questions like, well, then why am I not? You begin to understand things from a spiritual perspective than from a soulish. The Spirit doesn't have a problem grasping truth, because the Spirit has been born out of truth by the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? It's the soul that has the problem area. It's the soul that's struggling in accepting what God has established in His Word. And so here you have people that get taught for years against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's all. See, it'd be easy to get somebody to accept something like that if they've never heard otherwise. It's not a problem to get people filled with the Holy Spirit if they've never heard otherwise. All you have to do is begin teaching them, because there is nothing in the realm of the soul to shut it off. Do you see what I'm saying? So, I mean, they may not understand it, because, you know, understanding unfruitful. They may not understand it, but you can still show them in Scripture and say, now see, this is what God wants for you, and I'll do my best to describe how it happens. Then if you want, I'll pray with you. It will happen. And they say, well, okay, sure. Let's, you know, go for it. But you take somebody that set all their lives in a religious system where they have been trained in the area of the soul not to believe it. The soul then is imposing itself upon the spirit. Now, even though in the realm of the spirit will acknowledge truth, the soul has become so strong in that area that in some cases it could take almost a water-walking miracle for anything to change as far as that particular doctrine is concerned. It could be filled with the Holy Spirit, tongues and miracles. It could be healing. It could be prophecy. I mean, anything. You see what I'm saying? Absolutely anything. And so a person has sat and they've listened to this doctrine all these years. If it's wrong doctrine, the Spirit doesn't feed on it and become strong. If it's wrong doctrine, it's a lie. So the Spirit stays weak and wimpy, while the soul chooses, through the decision-making process, chooses to embrace that doctrine and continue to embrace on it. How many of you know that if you had a diet of like 4 or 5 cherry pies a day, pretty soon you would outgrow your pants? You'd have to add on, you know, bigger sizes and all that. All right, in the realm of the natural, or in the realm of the spirit, think of it, you know, along that line. You're eating cherry pie in your soul, and your soul is getting big and fat and big and fat and big and fat, and just, I mean, it's getting humongous to the point to where poor little old spirit down here, it's being crushed under the weight. And it can't, you know, get off me, get off me, I'm trying to get some truth. And the soul's, you know, it just sits there and says, I ain't moving. And then along comes somebody and walks through Scripture and explains about, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and tongues, not, and it's real and all this other kind of stuff. And on the inside, all of a sudden, the Spirit is hearing something it can relate to. It can't relate to this other stuff. This other stuff is being forced on it. But it can relate to this. And so, you know, it's hearing this. It's like, oh, this is so good. I want more of this teaching. And the soul is saying, hold on. Let me see. And the soul hears all this teaching and passes it through the filter that will determine whether or not I allow it to go on into my spirit. Because if I allow it to go on into my spirit, I will act upon it. See? But if I don't act, or if I don't allow it to go on in, I won't. You can't act on something you don't have. If you don't have a car, I can't tell you to drive your car, right? So, for me to tell any of you in here, go out and get your rocket ship and fly home tonight, you can't do that because you don't have a rocket ship. Likewise, your spirit cannot lead you to act upon something that it has not been allowed to receive. And so here's the big bad soul, and it has these years of wrong doctrine. Now, some of the doctrine's been correct doctrine, and the spirit has been able to feed off of that and grow off of that. But this stuff over here, you know, the soul has fed on it. And then what compounds it is if the soul is allowed to reinforce it by releasing it to other people. I'm going to tell you what, the more you teach something, the more you believe it. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, but it also comes, you know, you reinforce your own belief system by what you say. So the more that you're given the opportunity, I mean, like I said, unless there's like a near miracle, you know, you may be a goner. And I don't mean you're going to hell. I mean as far as getting the doctrine corrected. Now, it can happen. We know that. It definitely can happen. But here you are. Your soul is big and fat with wrong doctrine, and it is filtering out truth. Now, I'll use myself as an example. I had been soulishly fat to not believe and being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it wasn't so much the teaching and preaching that convinced me. I mean, that had a part to it, but it was because I chose to subject myself to the teaching and the experience of the others around me. And so not only was teaching coming at me and hammering at all those, you know, fat cells of unbelief in my soul, but the people around me were demonstrating what their spirits had been allowed to receive. And my spirit was trying to key in with the truth they were demonstrating. So it wasn't just what was coming to me from the pulpit, it was what I was experiencing around me. And so the teaching and the people around me demonstrating the truth, it kept coming and hammering and hitting and beating on me. Until finally, even though my soul had been trying to filter it out, my soul was becoming weaker and weaker in that area because I was listening and experiencing around me a bombardment of truth. The easiest way to get out of that kind of situation is to get away from it. That's the easiest way. If you don't want inner conflict over these kind of things, if you don't want your soul to start getting hammered and beaten up with truth, just separate yourself from the truth and find a bunch of other fat souls like yours that have been eating the same diet, and everybody's going to be happy, and continually reinforce to each other the wrong belief, see? And you all just sit around and belch up, you know, the wrong doctrine and have a good old time, but you're not going to be on the truth. It won't be there. But me, I kept listening, I kept hearing, I kept experiencing until my soul, you know, it's getting wimpier and wimpier, and my spirit's hearing truth, and it's getting a little bit more strong, a little bit more strong, until finally my spirit decides, I want answers beyond what I have heard so far. And so my spirit influenced my decision-making process to go to the preacher and say, can you tell me more about this? And so in a few minutes he explained some things to me and invited me to come forward that night in the service to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be prayed for, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and receive the gift of speaking in tongues. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. So that night, service, end of the service, altar call, and I overrode whatever was left of my soul. By now, my soul was pretty skinny in that area. And I stepped out, and I went forward, and I stood there. I did not know what to expect, but I stood there waiting for whatever. And he prayed, he laid hands on me, and whoo-hoo, Shandai. There it was. It's like, wow! And my spirit saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well then, the next barrier was the whole thing of praying in tongues. Now, since I'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, my soul was already black and blue in that area of praying in tongues. You see what I'm saying? But I had never heard in-depth teaching about it. Well, then I began hearing in-depth teaching about it. And I sat down, and now, because my soul was more and more being leaned on by my spirit was able to say, hey, we're going to check this out. Not only are we going to listen to the tapes, but we're also going to open up the Bible and find out if this stuff is true. And so my soul says, Okay, whatever. Just, you know, get off my back, man. And so I start digging, and I'm listening, and I'm digging, and I'm reading, and I'm studying, and I'm meditating, and I'm listening. It's like, finally, I came to a decision through all the truth that had been fed. I came to the place of the decision. You know, my decision-making process is just standing there waiting for somebody to tell it what to do. And it'd been, you know, it's used to the soul saying, do this, do this. And the decision-making process is, okay, we'll do this. But now all of a sudden, you know, the wimpy, little, weak soul is throwing in the towel. And here comes the spirit, you know, getting toned up and, you know, looking pretty good, all right? Not yet, you know, Arnold status, but, you know, starting to look a lot better, a whole lot better than what it used to look like. And it comes up to the decision-making process and says, look, The soul has no clue in this thing. Don't listen to it. I'm telling you, make a decision to start praying in tongues. Because I have accessed truth I never before knew. And if you do this, here are benefits that you're going to experience. So therefore, Mr. Decision, choose to pray in tongues. And so the decision-making process says, well, okay, whatever. Doesn't matter to me, you know. And over time, the Spirit was right. Glory to God. And the Spirit begins to grow, and the Spirit begins to grow, and the Spirit begins to grow. Well, right about now, the soul is over here, and it's watching all of this. And it sees another transformation take place. I mean, the first transformation was bad enough, all right? All of a sudden, an introduction of life that had never been there before, and there's this new being, this new nature, this Spirit on the inside that's wanting to take over, and the soul it really has been putting up some resistance. But the Spirit has been getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the soul is really getting weaker and weaker and starting to back off more and more. And the Spirit then has this incredible experience. One day, just seemingly out of nowhere, in comes the Holy Ghost. And now not only does the soul have to contend with this nature that's come directly from God, but now the soul is eyeball to eyeball with the third person of the Godhead.
Amen.
And the soul is saying, oy vey! Who is this? The Spirit says, this is my tag team partner, and you are in real trouble now. And so the soul has been used to controlling everything. But it's been losing, you know, control one finger at a time. And yet, even though as it's been losing control, it still has been able to have a powerful influence on the decision-making process and on the belief system. Because it's been able to filter out as much as it could possibly filter out. Well, here it is. It's standing here, trying to filter all this stuff out, all this stuff that would force it to give in to what the Spirit wants. And so it's filtering out, and then all, you know, it turns around and it sees something. It's like, what? Whoa, what's going on here? And it looks, and there is the Spirit sitting down with the Holy Ghost, and they're talking to each other. And the soul is saying, wait, that's not fair. You're bypassing me. I don't know what you're saying. I can't. Would you please talk in a language that I can understand? Because I need to be able to decide whether or not I'm going to let this pass through into the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just smiles really big and says, dude, you ain't got a chance. And so the soul is out here trying to filter all this stuff out, but he can't because the communication is now taking place in an area where the soul has no control. And so the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, we're in there talking to each other. And as I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is able to tell me exactly what I'm supposed to pray as a spirit. But the soul doesn't know. And the soul does not know what I'm praying about. The soul doesn't realize that I am praying about getting rid of some more of that wrong belief, like in the area of healing, or in the area of this, or in the area of whatever it would be. The soul doesn't know that the Spirit is receiving this perfect, divine, and holy instruction and teaching directly, completely bypassing the soul. And this, as the soul watches this whole process, there is nothing it can do. But it tries. And so what does it do? The thing that it tries to do is to interfere and to get you distracted so you won't pray. Because if the soul, and this is where the soul kind of is taking some input from, you know, the other side, the devil. Because the devil tries to come along and influence the soul with, this is more important than that praying stuff. And this, and then the soul says, hey, hold, listen, you need to stop that. Stop that praying right now. Stop, everybody, stop this. Because we need to go over here and there's something we've got to do. Cut the grass. Yeah, that's it. Cut the... Oh, wait, it's winter time. No. What do we need to do then? Clean the bathroom. Yeah, you can do that any time year round. Go clean the bathroom. Clean the bathroom. I know used to you didn't like to, but now you really like to clean bathrooms. You really love scrubbing toilets. So go do it. Go on. Go. It stinks. It's going to embarrass the neighbors. They'll probably force you to move. Repo the house. Condemn it. Burn it down. Go clean that bathroom. And if the soul can be successful in that, then the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, the communication's interrupted and stopped, and the soul says, whew, boy, for a minute there, I thought I was going to have to stop telling the body to smoke. Because when the body smokes, boy, that stuff makes me feel so good. Especially if it smokes the wrong stuff, if you know what I mean. Or whatever it would be. But when your spirit overrides the soul, boy, this is where you really have to struggle. Because your soul has been trained for years to be responsible, to be active, to be diligent in something. But this praying in tongues thing, yeah, you can do it while you're doing the other stuff. But how many of you have noticed that sometimes it's easy to get distracted doing the other stuff and you find that you've stopped praying in tongues? The key is this. If you continue to pray in tongues, it's going to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to instruct your spirit in a way that the soul cannot filter out. Because even if... When you hear teaching about things, even when you hear teaching, you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues, but if your soul has been fed a steady diet of, but you can't do that unless the Holy Ghost moves upon you, you can't just choose to pray in tongues anytime that you want, unless something happens to override that bloated belief system, you're not going to pray in tongues anytime that you want. And even the people, some, who come to the belief that, okay, well, yeah, you can pray in tongues any time that you want, but if you do pray in tongues too much, you're going to get weird. Well, unless something almost miraculous happens to get them past that, they are never, never going to step into the realm of what the Holy Spirit can do for you while you're praying in tongues. Because when you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is going, all this communication is going on behind the back of your soul. And the whole time it's happening, your spirit, is getting bigger and stronger and bigger and stronger and bigger. And that's why every now and then you may hear a report of somebody who had been trying to stop something for years, and they start praying in tongues, not because they understand it, but because they see something in the Bible that tells them change will come. In the realm of your soul, you're never going to understand how the change comes. In other words, the 1 plus 1 times 2 equals... You're never going to understand the formula, soulishly. But in the realm of the Spirit, you will begin to experience the change. And as that change begins to take place on the outward, you will begin to have whatever needs to be corrected. Whether it's, you know, habits and behaviors, wrong doctrine. If you keep praying in tongues, those things are going to be changed. Inevitably, invariably. Here, though, is the problem. Yes, but Brother Martin, I've been praying in tongues for, you know, like 3 years, and I really haven't seen a whole lot of change. Well, if you have been praying in tongues for 3 years, maybe you don't see it yet, but God does. That's because the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you are edifying yourself and building yourself up on your most holy faith. So no matter what you can see and interpret with your soul, the spiritual results are happening. And it is only a matter of time before the changes start to become evident. But the key is pray in the Spirit. The key is to take a step of faith and do it, believing God's word is true, regardless of what your soul is telling you. Because I promise you, the soul will never agree. Not fully. Not the 100% we're walking in perfect harmony kind of agreement with the Spirit about praying in tongues. Because sooner or later, the soul is going to tell you something else is better, more important, more rational, and all this other. But if you can just accept it, if you'll just step out and start to do it, the change is inevitable. It has to happen because it is a spiritual law. It has to happen. Now, it may take a while, depending upon what the Holy Ghost has to work on, because remember, He sees you in a way that you don't see you. But it's inevitable. It has to happen. Has to happen. Has to happen. And here's what happens. You know, the soul standing there being the filter, the holes in that filter start getting bigger and bigger to where it's not able to filter out stuff like it used to. This is part of what John was talking about, the anointing that abides within. You know, it is truth, it cannot lie. How that anointing will help you detect truth and non-truth and so forth. That's kind of, I mean, he didn't use that same kind of illustration, but that's what the process will do. It'll bore so many holes in the area of the soul, it can no longer filter out truth with wrong belief. So that when wrong teaching hits you, immediately your spirit man is going to say, nope, that ain't right. And I now, the spirit, become the filter before the soul, and I will not let this wrong teaching impact the soul so that the soul once again becomes fat on wrong belief. I, the spirit man, have become stronger than the soul. The change has to happen. It has to. It has to. So what's the moral of the story, Brother Martin? Pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody stand. Begin to thank God that He's given you the ability to pray in tongues. Begin to worship Him for this gift.